I was also disappointed I never had Miss Neiman.
Oh yeah, Miss Neiman.
Miss Neiman.
She was the one.
Yeah.
Probably a solid five in the world, but at Jesuit was a 10.
She was 10. I don't know. She was probably a
10.
She was probably a 7.
She was a 6 in the real world.
Come on.
She was a 7 at a...
Have y'all gotten any notification that we're live?
Oh, yes, I did. Check. For Facebook, I did.
She was a West Bank 7.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and on a night where ESPN decided to play the game that changed the world, the game that turned everything upside down, the game that put the Houdat Nation on the map and eventually led to the creation of the Dome Patrol Podcast.com. We are feeling a little nostalgic, so we even brought back one of the Dome Patrol Podcast founding members. You'll see him in a minute. But first, let's welcome Jason. Welcome to the show. What's your number?
Oh, God. I'm going to go with a...
And yes, boy, this is live.
I'm going to go with a 4 or a 5. I started kind of tailgating at about 5:30. Made a nice cocktail. I had some dinner and I went ahead and got some wine with dinner because that's what I do. So it's kind of like my wine down Monday. You know, we're kind of back.
It is wine down Monday.
We're kind of back to wine down Monday, but I would go with at least a 4.
Ooh,
you know, right. I've enjoyed tonight's rebroadcast more than I thought I would. It's been fun.
All right, very. I know, me too. Scott, well, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'd say about a 2. Drinking a little Michelob Ultra. It's my second or third one. So, losing up, feeling pretty good. Been enjoying the night. Got my Deuce jersey on.
You got your deuces. All right,
tell a story about that.
Round out the counterclockwise motion on your screen. We got Courtney, original founding member. Welcome to the show. What's your number?
Yesterday, we played golf with Jason and Dr. Christie. And I was probably an 8 coming home. And I'm carrying over, two of those are carrying over to today, and it probably drifted to a 1. And I have a Corona, and then you add in 0.5.
See what you did there.
So 2.5.
All right, 2.5, as is tradition for those of you long-time listeners, first-time callers. Courtney always comes in with a 2.5. All right, joining us 0.5. On the show, we know.
Well, Jeff, what about you?
Oh, yeah, probably a 1, maybe. I've had one of these full of vodka and cran pineapple.
I have that cup.
This is the yeah, I know. Your kids told me that. And it's a Super Circle K cup.
Not a Super Bowl cup.
No, not a Super Bowl cup. all right, yeah, I'm probably a 1. I had one of those full of vodka and juice, and this is the second one. So if for the first time in a long time, we're actually recording where we have numbers, and we all have numbers. So for those of you who have joined us, you're in for a treat. Joining us on the live stream right now, we got Roy Brooks, Gerald, the Mailman, Booty, Long Pit. Dude, it's been, I feel like we're all like, it's been so long because we've been cooped up and we're all together again. Booty says Sean Payton got in Deloach's face after that personal foul call on the kickoff.
Completely ignored his touchdown recovery, right. which is what Payton had to do.
Hey, that's classic Peyton. All right. He also says he's supposed to be watching wrestling, but I can't stop watching the Saints game, and I love it. Christian Mino joins us, says, I still remember sitting in my friend's living room with my Reggie Bush jersey. The fact that most of the people I was watching were Falcons fans was icing on the cake.
Itching on the cake.
I know, man, y'all are
who's itching on the cake, man? That's kind of gross.
I know, so, about yeah. Bank cake.
Well, I tell you what.
You know a really guy who fucked the cake.
If you're watching, Jason, I know you're watching the chat too, so, and you'll see people. Somebody's breathing heavy in the mic.
Somebody's breathing very heavy.
Yeah.
It can't be Courtney. He doesn't have a microphone.
Yeah. And Roy says he's a 3, finished a bottle of Meiomi.
Very nice, Roy. Very nice.
All right. So, I don't know. Do we do a game recap? there was a game tonight.
The game's not over though, so.
But it's pretty much
first
over.
First half recap.
Oh, I hope they finish. I hope they win.
But I mean, we're about to kick the field goal that ends up being the final score. So
for those of you that don't know what's going on, and you're listening on the podcast later on in the week, what happened was ESPN played the 2006 Saints Falcons game, which was the first game back in the dome after Hurricane Katrina, and we just watched it. And to Jason, your point, I kind of was like, I'm gonna watch it. It's fine. It's great. But I was a lot more nostalgic and a lot more excited once it came on, right? I mean,
yeah, and
it's like seeing people you hadn't seen. It's like a reunion. It's like a Saints reunion special.
And it was I was more excited to have it back on my DVR, because back when we were at the house in Denny Park when the game actually happened, like, I recorded the whole pregame, recorded the whole game, and I had it on it. So before every season would start, I would go back and I would watch it to get myself pumped up. Courtney lived there for a while, but even before any season, I invited everybody over. Hey, let's go watch it. And I had it for the longest time. And then when I moved,
you know, he says, yeah.
And I kind of wasn't connected for a while. Like, I lost it, and I lost that feeling of before every season not being able to watch it again. And the NFL never offered it to us. Like, I would have bought a DVD, Blu-ray, whatever, of the entire pregame, the entire game. I feel like we should have had that opportunity to purchase and own it, and we never did. So now that I knew that I could get it back on where I could watch it whenever I want, I felt great. But then to watch the game unfold and to also have the added experience of Saints Twitter, which didn't exist back then,
right?
To kind of watch it together. Like, that's where a lot of it comes. Like, to watch it together. Now, not that I would have been on Twitter during the game when it happened because of the game, but to experience that with multiple people again was something that I just didn't anticipate. It just brought up a lot of memories and a lot of fun. It was, you know, it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
All right.
I got more emotional than I thought I would, you know, like, just, yeah,
I agree.
Kids were in the room explaining it to the boys, to the kids, and eyes welled up a little bit, but I didn't drop a tear, but I was more emotional.
Bring Adam onto the show. Adam's watching. He just said, Courtney's on. What a treat.
He probably can't figure it out. We tried to get him on all the time, and he just goes, oh, yeah, but his headset doesn't work. And
but Courtney, your point about watching it with the kids, too. Yeah, like, I texted, because my kids are at their mom's house with the COVID-19 and all that stuff, but I texted them, and I'm like, you need to watch this game. This is history. This is the game that changed everything. They weren't even born yet when it happened. They only heard of this game, and they were all excited. And when the kick hit, they were like, they know of the kick, but to actually watch the kick and celebrate that together, I mean, it was. And then, like Jason said, with Twitter, we watch all these games with Twitter, and this was like the first Saints game I've watched where Twitter wasn't outraged at everything. You know what I mean? It was like, we miss a tackle. Oh, that's it. The game's over. Now it was just because you know what the outcome was, obviously. And it was a fun experience, a lot more fun than you thought it was going to be. Now, one thing the mailman did mention was how young everybody looked, especially Sean Payton. And that was noticeable, obviously. Except, I don't – Breeze with the helmet.
Well, you can't tell, but I tweeted it earlier. It's like, back then – you know, we obviously didn't know Breeze was going to be this. We're like, oh, he's a competent quarterback. You know, like, we just said, oh, we're going to have a competent quarterback. We'll be okay. We didn't realize.
And he wasn't elite this game either.
No, like, he didn't even throw a touchdown pass. Yeah. And, you know, he was still coming back. But just the fact that, looking back now, that he's set all the fucking – all the passing records. Like, we had no idea. You know, we were all Reggie. Like, it was Reggie.
Yeah,
it was Reggie. Reggie was the guy that we were all like, "This, we're gonna be unreal because of Reggie."
It also didn't make that big. Everybody's shoulder pads were like, you know, the '90s was the era of giant shoulder pads. But even 06, like, it feels like over the years, and you know, they've gotten smaller. But damn, Reggie, he had like giant Icky Wood shoulder pads on or something.
You know what I liked a lot about it was the. We all knew this going in, but again, like, how good the draft was, and it was Peyton's first game in the dome. It was Breeze's first game in the dome ever. It was Reggie's. It was Colston's. It was Streif's. It was Roman Harper's. It was
Jari Evans.
Jari Evans. Like, how important those guys. I mean, I just listed, you know, eight of the top 25 players ever play for the Saints, you know?
Yep.
And it was all their first game in the Dome, and it was, you know, just who knew what we were watching at the time? Who knew, you know, what that season of your life was going to be? The HBO series of Jeff Montague's life. You know, that was season three when it was good, you know?
Oh, I remember season one, not great.
Katrina like ended season two, and they couldn't wait for season three to start. That's how that was the first
time. Season one was good. It was the swim championship, you know. Right. And season two was bad. Fell into a dark place.
But for all of us is what I mean. Like, everybody's life. Those were life events that we'll chronicle our life. Like, when we're, you know, 80 years old and we're trying to piece together our life and remember, that's going to be a bookmark, you know.
That is true.
Yeah, it was the first, you know, like, because we had season tickets since 2003 and, you know, watched all that. But after Katrina happened, like, and a lot of people say it, but, like, pre-Katrina, post-Katrina was such a big deal. And we were all, like, just young adults. We weren't in school anymore. Yep. We were doing things on our own. Like, fuck, Courtney had to move to Dallas, you know, after.
Yep, me too.
You know, and you moved away, and it was our first – real taste of, like, real world shit. It's like
life,
you know. Man. Yeah, right. Like, the second, I mean, look, like, I didn't work
that
for
was
3 weeks.
Vietnam,
you know. It's like I'm like, I remember in the time after the storm where, like, 3 weeks later we found a way to get back into downtown and get into our office. Windows are blown out, we're trying to get files and shit, and we're just like, what the fuck's gonna happen? Like, we just didn't know what the fuck was gonna happen. Much less if we
Did
had
we
a Saints
know
team.
What was going to happen?
I knew it was going to happen that 14 years later we were going to be Super Bowl winning championship in the all quarantined at home for a month because of a global pandemic.
Right. I knew there was going to be a global pandemic at some point.
I called it.
On an iPad. What the fuck's an iPad in 2006?
You know, that, you say that. And so another point that I noticed when they would do the crowd shots, you know, spanning the crowd or whatever, you notice all the fans were engaged. They were not like this the whole time on their phones. They were actually engaged and cheering more. Whereas nowadays, when you see the crowd shot, like, half the people are like,
or also like holding up their phone for a picture. Like, think of how many people would have been holding up their phone for the picture of the kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you would have seen.
Yep. And I like that better. I think people need to put the phones down and actually experience the moment. Let me ask you this. Of the things you've videoed, like concerts or games or anything like that, how many times have you gone back and watched those videos?
Ooh, I make fun of that all the time.
Yeah.
I have some.
Live in
mostly
the
just to see like the kids. Mostly, you know, when I look at it is when my phone's full and I have to go delete stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I can't download this app because I have to delete photos or videos. And I'm like, all right, let's see what this is.
There's my kid taking his first steps. Nah, delete. There's my daughter doing her first tumble set. Nah, delete it. Oh, there's Steve Gleason blocking the punt. Save.
And ironically, I'll talk about that with the cell phones. I was at that time, I was a manager for Singular in Clearview Mall.
Did you know Chad McGregor?
No. Say it, huh?
Oh, what's up, big dog?
Yeah, what's up, big dog?
Sorry, that was a friend of ours. Singular.
But I was a manager, and just that day, I was working in the, you know, in the mall, and you could just there was just a buzz, you know, and just it was throughout the whole city, just knowing that they were finally back, that they weren't leaving, because like Jason said, you didn't know, you know, we didn't know they were practicing at, you know, in freaking parking lots and shit the year before. Yep. You know, and nobody knew if they were going to come back, if they were going to go to San Antonio. There was rumors that that might happen, you know, and all kind of stuff, and that Vince was going to ship it off. The Pelicans were playing in what, Oklahoma City at the time?
The Hornets.
But they were playing in, you know, Oklahoma City, so you didn't know if they were going to come back, if they were going to stay there. I mean, that's the whole reason why Oklahoma City got a freaking basketball team, is because they did so well while the Hornets were there during Katrina.
It's the whole reason I have a job 13 years later.
True.
Yeah, yeah.
Roy's comment? He didn't have to move. Who is he talking about?
Himself? He didn't have to move.
Challenging. No, he's probably talking about me moving to Dallas.
Courtney not have. He didn't have to move.
Yeah, Courtney didn't have to move. He chose to move.
Yeah, what's up, Vincent Burke?
That's right. Hey, Vincent Burke! Hey, come on in.
But I mean, like, Southern again, Union. Like, you know, like there was so much.
Oh, you didn't know?
Adam will never get back on the show.
Somebody, here comes Vincent Burke.
He can't figure out his computer.
He's Scott Vegeta. Vincent Burke is Scott Vegeta. He's the Asian. What did Joe Horn call him? Or no? Who introduced the Mike?
Oh Vincent? God! Oh God! I'm waiting to see how Jeff's gonna butcher something.
No. I need a caution, offensive joke coming.
Right.
No. Scott, you know when they did the player introductions before, and yeah. Mike McKenzie was like, and he called him the Asian something.
The Asian assassin.
Asian assassin. That's it. And then, you know, Vegeta. Well, Vincent Burke lives in Tokyo. He's the
Roy, did you love her? But I do remember the day of the game. Like, clearly, when the season started, nobody knew what was going to happen. When you win the first two games, you're like, holy shit, okay, this is going to be kind of interesting. And then when the game happened, like, I remember being at work because I used to work. Our office was – so you had the Dome, then you had Benson Tower next to it, and the building on the other side of that was where I used to work.
Was it even Benson Tower then?
No, it probably wasn't.
It was. He didn't
buy it. Was it by then?
He didn't buy it.
No. I don't think he bought it.
It wasn't Benson Tower, but it
wasn't Benson Tower, but the building was still there. You know, the one connected to the New Orleans Center. But I worked in the building right on the other side of that. And I just remember, like, my work. Now, they're not going to give us off for shit. But I remember, like, they didn't even say a word. Like, oh, you can wear a Saint shit that day, and that's it. But I'm sitting there in my office. So, like, around 1 o'clock, you know, you can hear the stuff going on outside the window on the street. You know, people are partying there all day. Eventually, it got to, like, 2 o'clock, and I'm just like, fuck it. I got to get out of here. So I had to leave. So I left, and I tweeted a few pictures today of wherever we were tailgating. We were under the overpass, like, on the other side of Claiborne. I don't know how we got that spot, but I just knew, like, that's where we were going. And, like, Courtney was there. Mike was there. A few other people were there, and that's where we were kind of setting up shop. I just remember, like, I had to get out of my office. Like, I couldn't sit around in my office hearing what was going on. Like, I had to get out.
I think everybody took a half day that day. It was like Mardi Gras 2.0.
Except my office. I guarantee you some people worked until 5.
Well, that's their fault.
I couldn't do it. I had to get out. I just remember being like, I got to get the fuck out. I got to go start celebrating with people.
We went to lunch that day. It was me, Roy. There was three of us. Maybe it was Adam. I don't know who.
It could have been Mike. Mike was still here.
But we went to eat at Gordon Biersch, and we that day for lunch, Monday during the day for lunch, and Warwick Dunn was there. And we.
That's right. I remember y'all saying
you
that.
Remember that story?
Well, when the game started, like, I almost forgot Warwick Dunn was still on the Falcons. I was like, well, Warwick Dunn was still on the Falcons?
I forgot Michael Vick was in that game.
He's probably serious.
He is. He texted us, Michael Vick! !! Like, he completely forgot that Michael Vick.
I thought that was Matt Schaub.
I mean, I don't pay attention to with the Falcons quarterbacks.
You know, as good as it is for us, can you imagine, like, how much Atlanta hates having to see this right now?
Just think of somebody in Atlanta that didn't even know it was happening. They just checked their Twitter tonight, and it's just exploded with tank shit everything.
And, you know, it didn't matter who we played. We could have played the 85 Bears that night. There was no way we were losing that fucking game. None at all whatsoever.
How many people turned their volume up to, like, 100 during the kick?
Yeah. I definitely turned my TV up when it was coming closer. I tell you what, though, hot take. As awesome as the block punt play is and all that, man, I really wish he would have scooped and scored the play before. You know, strip Vic.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That imagine. Remember,
that would have been.
Yeah.
What's crazy?
And I gotta tell you, the Devery reverse was just as exciting tonight as the block kick.
Yeah.
Drew threw a hell of a block.
Drew threw a great block.
But just like, on the third down play, it's like when you watch the play, like Vegeta just fucking shot out. Like, Vegeta was the fastest guy on the field on that play. Like, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, Vic's running. And Vegeta just, like holy fuck. Like, he shoots out. Like, I tweeted, like he had rockets attached to his back. He was so fast on that play.
He's the Vincent Burke of the Saints defense.
Mm.
And Roy is with me. He says, Vic wasn't in jail yet. I swear. In my world, Michael Vick went to jail in like 1962 or something. Like, Michael Vick.
And then he came back and played in the Sugar Bowl for Virginia Tech in 2000.
Yeah. I mean, like, Michael Vick is ancient.
Ask Roy who was with us. Who was the third person?
Well, you just did. He's watching. He can hear you.
He's definitely watching.
That's no, Jeff, I want you to ask him.
Okay. Roy, Courtney would like to know who else went with you to lunch that day. All right. But all right, now talk about the 2006 season now, after that went on, because, like, we win a little bit. And this was after the we just explained it's after Katrina. It's after 05. At what point during the 06 season did you start to believe that?
Ooh, that's easy.
You know,
that's easy.
I'll let Courtney answer this one because we got the same answer.
What week was it? What week was that game?
It was probably like it was like the first week of December. It was 10? Like December.
That long.
Yeah,
because took that long.
Well, because I remember, like, we were good and we were winning games, but.
What was our record? 1-0, 2-0, 3-0.
No, we were probably like eight, at that point. We were probably like 8-4.
Yeah,
you know, like we were 3-0, but like we lost a couple games. Like, we lost to Cincinnati. I remember losing that game. We lost a couple games, but we were like 8-4. But we were like, you know, kind of up there. But I remember when they first of all they flexed the game. You know, like, yeah, they flexed.
Falcons made us 3-0. Then we lost to Carolina.
Right. Like we
3-1, 4-5-1. You know, like, 5-2, 6-2. 6-3, 6-4.
Right, like you know, like we won some games, but then we lost some games that we shouldn't have lost, you know. But then I remember we were 8-4, and the fact that they flexed the game, because I had already scheduled to go. I had just started working, like, I was working on a big client, and I had to, like, say, well, sorry, I'm gonna show up late on Monday because the game got flexed. Like, that's when I knew, okay, hey, we're kind of a big deal. Like, they flexed it, and it was the Dallas game.
You know,
it was the first weekend of December when we had the Dallas game, and Courtney was living in Dallas, and me, Adam, and Mr. Craig.
And wasn't that a Monday night or Sunday night game?
Sunday
it
night.
Got flexed. Yeah.
Yeah. It flexed a Sunday night.
How do we get tickets, Jason?
I'm just assuming you. I don't know. I don't remember. I just. I mean, you were in Dallas. I just assume somehow you found a way to get them, but I don't remember.
And Adam, Roy said it was Adam.
And this is before.
And Bootsy, Gerald Bootsy did Miami.
Yeah, yeah. That was the one thing I remember going to the stadium. Like, that stadium was a dump.
Dump, yeah.
Yeah, the old Cowboy Stadium was a fucking dump.
If you fed your dog sand and rocks, he would shit concrete, and that's what he'd shit.
Yeah, it was an old concrete, like, definitely looked like a 1970s NFL stadium. Mm-hmm. I just assumed you got us the tickets because at that point, like, you know, it's not like there was no SeatGeek, there was no whatever. I'm sure you could find a way to get the tickets. I'm just assuming that you found a way to get us the four that we got. But like, I remember going in, and that was when I first found out what, like, we had, you know, when we were living at the Danny house and we would get the cases of Red Bull, we would just drink Red Bull by itself. But then when we got to that game, we're like, okay, we'll get a case of Red Bull. Let's just get a bottle of vodka, too. Why not? Let's just go Red Bull and vodka. So me, Courtney, Adam, and Jen was tailgating with us, too.
Yeah.
From what I remember. But she didn't go to the game. So we got hammered on Red Bull and vodka before the game. So we're obviously, like, jumping out of our skin. We're ready to go. And that was the first, like, big-time game. We're like, okay, let's see what happens. Because the Cowboys were good, too. That was Romo's first year of being a starting quarterback. So they were getting a lot of hype. They flexed us in.
Miles Austin, Julius Jones.
Yeah. Peyton going against his old protege, Parcells. Like, that was a big-time prove-it game, you know. And I remember hanging out in the parking lot.
Glad got in DMs.
Courtney opened up his trunk. Here's the Red Bull. Here's the vodka. Let's go. and then we got to the stadium, and the first or second play of the game was Julius Jones, like a 70-yard touchdown run, just like that. We're like, okay.
Vandenberg says he just remembers being happy. We all handle that well.
Yeah, yeah. Cody's like, how the fuck? Like, we're all just like, what the fuck? We're all Red Bull and vodka'd up. We're all fucking ready to go. And but then after that, it was just Saints. Saints drive touchdown. And it just got to be fun because I just remember the Cowboys fans
42-17.
And it was 7-0 Dallas. It was 7-0 Dallas.
But 7-0 Dallas.
Yeah, yeah.
Reggie had that screen. That was one of my favorite Reggie Bush plays ever. It was that screen he took and Jari Evans.
And you're right. Yep.
Jari Evans was 50 yards downfield making blocks.
And one of the most fun things I remember. I mean, and Courtney sent out a tweet earlier, and there was stuff I totally forgot about the softball coach and shit like that. But like their fans got so angry. Cowboys fans got so angry that we started to score and play well. Like, we'd stand up and cheer. They were so angry that we would just fucking stand up. They were like, "Yo, sit the fuck down. Like, we're winning by 21 points now. What are you doing?" They were so angry at us. Like, there was such entitlement of the Cowboys fans back
then. I'm sure we didn't do anything to deserve it.
Of course not.
I've
heard these stories, and I know you did stuff to deserve it.
It was also funny because
Jason, a young drunk Jason in the stands,
and an even younger drunk Adam.
Yeah. Oh shit!
And like one of the funniest ongoing things was there was a Saints fan and a Cowboys fan that kept betting, you know, who would score next, and the Cowboys fan got it early, but then eventually the Cowboys fan ran out of money. He would have to go to the ATM, get money, and come back. And that happened like three times.
We were not taking the cash. We were just making them buy a beer.
Right. Eventually, yeah. But that was – to get back to our original point, that was the game when we just dismantled the Cowboys. Like, and I've said it before, like, other than that Saints-Falcons game, this was the most fun game, Saints game, I've ever been to.
Yeah.
You know, like, I didn't go to the Super Bowl. You know, I went to the NFC Championship game, which is great on its own level. But the, you know, at that point when we were the laughing stock of the league, and that game really told me it's like, holy shit, like this is okay. I think this is real.
And you know the best part? 14 years later, is it right? 14 years, we're still in that same mode of
right. Well, so
success.
You say that, and I'll one thing that came through my head was about watching this game and remembering what it felt like in 06 versus how it feels now. It's like we put so much pressure. Maybe I'm speaking for myself. I put so much pressure still, even though I tell myself I'm not going to get all worked up. I'm going to be more mature about things. But every year, here comes game day, and it's like the minute a bad play happens, I'm like, it's like – I can't enjoy it. Like, I remember enjoying 2006 was a party year because you had no expectations. Now it's like, you know, next year we have to win. There's no enjoying next year if we lose a game.
I mean, you can still enjoy the season, but I do get it. Like, it's the end result.
Yeah, it's different. My recollection of last season, all right, 2006 was party, party, party. Every game was great. Wonderful. You lose a few. Whatever. Hey, we're doing great. Last year, we were like, 13-1 or whatever we were. And I'm still like,
13-1.
I'm like tense. Like, you know what I mean? I could, it was just tense. It's tense.
It's because you're old.
It has raised expectations of what we've been able to see. And that's one of the things watching this game. And it's like, imagine back when this game happened, realized like none of us had any idea that Breeze was going to be what Breeze is. No. You know, back then we were happy. Like, we have a competent quarterback. It seems like we got a good coach. We won this game. We might be good for a while. We didn't know that Breeze was going to set all the fucking records. Like, it's different. And now
still
that we
not
have
good
that,
enough to make the all decade team.
Yeah, of course not. Of course not. But it's like now that we know we have this. It's like we can't let it go to waste. You know, like we don't want it to go to waste.
Who keeps trying to get into the
– I saw somebody. Somebody's tries hopping in on an iPhone. Is it? It's either Adam or maybe Roy.
Are you bringing somebody in?
I'm not trying to do anything. I haven't given anybody anything.
Are you trying to bring somebody in?
I didn't give anybody the number.
I didn't give anybody the number.
It says I.
Nor did I. I see that. Somebody's got the number and their signal sucks.
Now.
It just
gone. I just cut him out. Unless somebody's trying to join in. Yeah, anybody who's watching who wants to join in the call, just let us know and Jason will send you the number.
yeah, hell yeah.
But I actually have heard that with this COVID-19, like some Zoom accounts are being hacked or something.
Their security isn't as great as it should be, apparently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If any hacker wants to come in on this conversation, we're giving out the codes in 15 minutes.
The hacker is a Saints fan. He's like, no, I'm really actually just trying to come and join you guys and celebrate.
Stay tuned. I'm giving the codes out to the
Dome Patrol podcast. Ooh, all 7 of their viewers are going to be
the keys that this podcast holds.
Right. It's a Falcons fan. That's the problem.
Right. It's somebody's trying to sabotage.
It might be Damon trying to. Yeah. Christian Mina. Was it Damon?
It might be Damon.
Oh, you didn't know? That'd be like Stone Cold coming in and shaking hands with Vince McMahon in WrestleMania.
Do you think he still listens?
Probably. He would.
He's got to, right?
He's watching right now. Hey, Damon.
I'll ask him.
All right, and our UK brethren couldn't make it to this show because
timing difference.
Well, they're
like 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, they like to pretend
it's
like
back to 6 hours now.
Yeah. All right, so well, Courtney, with you here, let us fast forward to 2020 season. What do you think? 2020. Same thing, Scott.
What do I think about the upcoming season?
Yeah. What do you think about the free agency moves that we made?
I mean, you like Emmanuel,
what's the big thing? Emmanuel Sanders, your big signing?
Well, him and Jenkins, I think, are equal. I don't think one's better than the other one. I mean, we needed a receiver, but Jenkins is really good. I'm excited. I mean, look, why not? You got one more – Bree said it, you got one more – year, one more shot.
We're assuming that they're going to go on with the season. Now, I kind of think that
it will,
that they might go on with the season. I don't know that there's going to be fans for the first few games.
Are you going to go to the game if they play? If
yes, they let you go? I will.
All
but
right, then they'll have fans at the games.
No, he's saying it's not that simple. They don't let fans go.
Like they may not let. But the NFL wants nothing.
They're not going to play a freaking game with no fans. And
yes, they will. If it's between that and not having games, they're going to play games with no fans.
And they're going to play games with fans.
No, they're going to play games with no fans because that means they still get the television money. That's where all their money comes from. They're going to have games if they can. If it means no fans for 4 weeks, that's what they're going to do.
All right, but if you think that society in general is not going to be allowed to congregate, how many months from now is August, September?
I think things are going to be very different. What you think is going to happen is not going to happen. Even when they do let fans back into games, I think there's going to be like you have to like
on the cheap then.
No. I think you're gonna have to like put your finger down or prove that you don't have the virus or some shit. Like things are gonna be different.
It's gonna be like it's the Walking Dead, the New World Order.
It's gonna be like post 9/11.
Prove that you don't have the virus.
Okay. Says the guy in Alexandria where there's no pro sports being played ever, and you don't have to worry about it.
It doesn't.
Or even college sports.
The point is that they're already talking about bringing sports back. Trump had a call with the heads of leagues saying, "We need to get this stuff back on track."
Okay, fine. You believe him? You believe that liar? Lying liar? I mean, he is.
He's never said anything before that one didn't come true.
Right? He's the best liar that ever lied.
How's that wall?
It's fabulous.
That wall would have kept the virus out.
I'm like,
let him build it.
I mean, but here's the thing. As long as you can have a game happen and it can be broadcast on TV, that's what they care about. But I just don't think they can allow fans into stadiums. It's going to be a way different world coming out of this. I know, so then maybe you haven't thought about it.
All right, so I just think that's the difference is that then that you can let 22 guys or 60, 50 guys, whatever, on a sideline get all that close to each other, and you're going to put all those players, multimillionaires, in jeopardy.
No, they'll test them all before they put them out there.
Yeah, yeah. There's going to be a lot of testing for players, but in terms of letting fans in the stadium, I think
it might be like a slow rollout to where maybe some sporting events, they start letting, I don't know, 2,000-3,000 in. And
golf.
Like,
one fan for every six seats.
I mean, that could be it, too. Like maybe
Courtney,
let
me check your ticket. You're row 25, seat 1. All right, you're cool. Jason, seat 4. Nope, can't get in. Scott, seat 7. Yeah, you're in. You're okay.
I mean, you joke about it, but there's a lot that we don't know. Like, I just don't think they're going to – they want the games to happen. And if the games can happen before they can allow fans in the stands, it's going to happen. Even though it's going to be weird to watch games with no fans, but I think that's what's going to happen.
I don't understand how you really think that we're going to still have to live in isolation like this 5 months from now. A, didn't China kind of pull out of it? Unless I haven't been paying attention to the news.
you really ready to trust China?
Well, they've had fewer cases than us, for one.
China's
– That's been documented. Those numbers, there's no way those numbers are real.
Right, classic jet. Which, okay. Come on, Courtney.
Okay. Either way, if the heat in the summer is going to help push this virus
down.
What makes you think
that's real? Nobody knows. You think the heat's just going to
So you
chomp it down?
To the doomsday prophecy.
No, Jeff. I'm just saying, like, nobody knows.
Well, Jeff, what happened the last time there was a global pandemic? Did the heat go, like?
Yes.
It did?
Yes.
Oh, okay. What global pandemic was that?
Yeah,
H1N1, which is also a coronavirus.
That never got to be this big. It never got to be as big as this.
Okay.
That you know of. Ooh, they didn't report.
I think there's going to be a second wave of it. Like, I think they're going to let people back
you
too
also
soon, and there's
going to
be a second wave, and then they're
going to
pull everybody back again.
You also discount the fact that they might find a treatment for it.
That's
way,
a year away.
Every expert says that's at least a year away.
We are glossing over Adam's comment about Trump or Goodell. You have to pick one.
Goodell.
God, that's crazy. I would pick Goodell. God damn it. Thanks, Adam.
Adam, it's either all of them or none of them.
Thanks, Adam. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. We just lost 7 viewers.
Out of 8.
Jason's the only one we have. Even Harold. Scott stopped watching.
Renee, can you log on?
I see a comment from Mike, says Harold. Courtney sent me a tweeted picture with Max and Harold earlier. I'm wondering how Harold's doing with no Masters week this week. He's got to be crushed.
Harold,
I'm crushed. Has anybody spoke to Harold? No, Jeff and Scott, you don't know who Harold is.
No. All right, we'll take a timeout for this piece. Y'all go talk amongst yourselves.
There won't be fans. I mean, I just it's going to be weird to see how they bring back fans for events. Like it's not going to be normal. Like Jeff, it's not going to be normal. It's going to be completely different. It's going to be like 9/11, like post 9/11. Like you're going to have to take your shoes off coming in. You know, it's going to be weird shit like that. The whole sporting event landscape.
I do agree that this is going to create a whole bunch of things that are going to give people. We're going to go through processes that are going to give us like a false sense of security or an illusion of security. But like 9/11, like taking your shoes off to get on the plane, not using your phone on the plane, those things, it's the illusion. But it's not, I mean, and it's weird that it's going to change the world in this case. And I have wondered how much of what
– I'm up for baseball when he's done, but Jeff doesn't like baseball.
Well, how much of what we're doing nowadays in the social distancing universe is going to stick post – social distancing. I don't remember if I brought this up on the podcast or if I talked about it because I've talked about somebody. But look at how many people are talking about, oh, you know, I love my kids and are so happy that we're spending time together as a family. And then like once they let people back out of their houses, the kids are gonna be like, where's mommy and daddy? They're not here anymore. Like how many parents are just gonna bolt and go back to their lives without paying attention to their kids again? you know, I mean, you just wonder how much of that's going to stick versus.
Some things aren't. A lot of things will go back to the way they were. But in terms of just going around, you know, like the sporting aspect in terms of letting fans into sports, like if the NBA comes back and they just happen to end their regular season and just go straight into playoffs, there's going to be games with no fans. Like, I just don't – like, what's going to be the safe spot that says, yep, everybody can come back? Like,
do you think the NBA is going to come back before NFL?
I mean, I don't think there's going to be any – obviously, I don't think there's going to be any more regular season, which sucks because that means the Pelicans aren't going to make it. And we were so ready to make it, but – I mean, the NFL is going to do what they can to get this season to go. I just don't think there can be fans in stadiums for at least the first month or two.
All right, so Rusty Ruiz wants to talk baseball.
Yeah,
what baseball.
When is baseball? Like, at least baseball kind of could, but it's going to be the same thing. They can play games. There's going to be no fans.
That's the one sport that's probably used to playing with very little fans.
Golf, like to me, golf should be the first sport back, because as long as the players get tested, you can go out on the course and play with no fans, and they're apart from each other. I mean, I played golf the last two weekends, and you can be apart.
We'll
from people.
Probably get back to riding horses.
Oh shit! But you know, it's going to be a sport like that where there's not a ton of, like, it sucks to not have fans there, but That's what it's going to be for a while, I think. And at least golf, you can just go out there on the course, hit your shot, move on, and it can be done. And at this point, people are going to be so desperate to watch sports on TV. I think the ratings for any of the first few live sports to come back are going to be through the roof, because people are just
ready. Christian, you know, the Falcons are used to playing with nobody in the seats. I mean, this is true. We've seen what the NFL is like. Michael Reagan, J.J. Redick, sad. His streak's over, which Vincent Burke did say. No one's hurting worse than the Pelicans, who were surging before all of this. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a part of me that's kind of like, yeah, it sucks because, yes, the Pelicans were in the right direction, but it's kind of like that slow start that we had, and with Zion's injury and all that, we get away with not making the playoffs. I don't know that we were going to make the playoffs this year. It's a long stretch, but, you know, we get a fresh start next year, you know?
Yeah.
The hype will definitely be live once next year starts if this season just comes to an abrupt halt.
The only thing this does do is give Gentry an out to come back next year.
Yeah, that sucks.
Because they were like they were really starting to gel. Like why?
Courtney disappears all of a sudden.
he's gonna take a break. He can't say a word. But you know, like they were really starting. Like the Lonzo Zion connection was really starting to form, and it sucks that we don't get to see, because they were only getting better, and it sucks. And
did y'all see me on the commercial?
Huh?
Multiple times.
Did y'all see me on the ESPN commercial?
No.
I don't watch commercials.
You should look again.
Yeah. I was on the ESPN.
Oh, you?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were on Zion.
No, get on Twitter.
You and Zion were in a commercial together?
Oh, yeah.
He was on it.
Technically.
Sure, Jeff. Right.
ESPN's new commercial where they miss sports, too. I mean, go look it up. Just type in ESPN misses sports, and it's the commercial. I'm the first.
Talk amongst yourselves. I'll look.
Yeah, hey, look, Jeff. If you have, I took a picture of it on my TV. I could send it to you later so you can see it. It was the shot of the war room on draft night, on lottery night.
Yeah, can't you play it like right now?
Yeah. Hang on, I'm looking for it. Is it on YouTube? You think?
I would assume.
Oh God, Jeff's our IT guy. He should know, but that's okay. But yeah, so
www.
Is it on the internet? Well.
So, but it is interesting. Like, I think golf can come back. And today, golf came up with a tentative schedule to reschedule. Like, three of the four majors are going to happen. The British Open got completely canceled. Sorry to our boys in the UK. I know Ben and I were really looking forward to chatting about that. But, you know, they're trying to move some of the tournaments to the fall. I mean, as of now, I mean, that's kind of what they have to do to kind of keep some interest going. Whether or not, when we get to that point, it can still happen or not, whether they can have fans or not, I don't know. But at least to me, golf seems like the sport that could come back and actually happen. They're talking about having the Masters in November. The
NASCAR.
I didn't say that.
Separate cars.
NASCAR's not a sport.
Okay.
Jason, did you watch wrestling? Did anybody watch WrestleMania with no fans?
I didn't. I heard the Cena match was crazy.
That was
in a good way.
Nuts.
But how was it with no fans?
It was fine. I mean, it's different. I mean, you can hear everything.
I got you.
It's harder to do a match with no fans just because the wrestlers kind of build off of their reaction. Sometimes they'll change and call audibles during the match to play off of what's going on in the crowd.
So it was
kind of strange.
I'm showing on the screen right here. Here's Courtney. I'm circling him with my cursor.
Oh God! Are you on AOL online back in 1997?
Who's doing the dial-up stuff?
Courtney
was always the one with the soundboard back in the day. You remember his soundboard?
Is he doing the soundboard shit?
I hope he is.
Is that Courtney?
That's why
real?
We need Courtney on the show all the time. That's what we've always missed from having Courtney not on the show. He was our soundboard guy.
All right. So are you looking on the screen here? You see this? This is Courtney right here with the.
I don't see anything.
You got a shirt and tie. You got a beard. That's you. I see you. It's where
yeah,
else
I have a shirt and tie.
Ping pong balls, right?
Yeah.
It's for the Zion when they pick Zion, right?
Yeah.
That's when you won the lottery.
Yeah. When you won the lottery. All right. So here's the commercial. Let's play it. Hang on. Everybody be quiet.
It's pretty good.
Everybody be quiet. Shut up.
I can't see it.
No,
I don't see it.
Of course, right. Only Jeff can see
it.
That's all
right.
Don't worry.
On the stream, you'll see it.
You've seen it multiple times.
Jeff, press the share content button.
Roy, do you miss the words algae crumpler beating for the – oh, God, algae fucking crumpler.
Let's get it, algae crumpler.
Crumpler was such a Saints killer.
All right, that's enough of that commercial. I mean, the most important part was watching Courtney. We don't need to be in commercial.
That was kind of amazing. Watching the game tonight.
Hang on. Sorry. I'm going to slow motion. I want to watch Courtney's every move. He's looking down.
Okay.
He looks down. He looks up.
I've been told I don't jump very high.
He looks down. He's waiting. He leans. He leans into the guy next to him.
He's a Phil Mickelson of jumpers.
Everybody jumps. Oh, wait, there he is. Yeah, he's getting a celebration. Woo!
Oh! I see you posted it on there in slow mo. I see it now.
I love it. There it is. All right. So we're back.
But yeah, man, like that was one thing. Like rewatching the game tonight.
That's it. You did it. Yeah. You practiced.
Like Algie Crumpler was such a Saints killer, and to watch him drop multiple passes on this night in 2006, that was another one of those things that made you think like, okay, yeah, this is definitely our night.
I forgot how much I hated.
Crumpler crushed us. I hated fucking Algie Crumpler.
I hated Roddy White. God, I hated him.
But even too, it was funny. Like watching Peyton do the inactives on Twitter. It's like
that was cool.
Like these are names I clearly remembered at the time, and now I'm like I have no recollection. Like if you asked me to name a bunch of Saints players from 06 or 07, I could name like three. But then when you post this, it's like I remember him.
You know whose name I liked a lot. Omar Stoutmeyer.
Omar Stoutmeyer. God, we did have an Omar Stoutmeyer.
He made a play tonight.
I remember that. I still remember one night we were planning to go for Halloween. We were going to go as the Willie Whiteheads and get like white swimming caps.
Mm-hmm.
And just go as the Willie Whiteheads.
Willie's Whitehead. Willie's Whiteheads.
Oh, God. Willie's Whiteheads?
Yeah, Willie's Whiteheads.
You're losing viewers, Adam.
You're still watching. Or what are we losing viewers? Because you're talking about Willie's Whiteheads, or
I don't know.
Well, there's a delay, so it might be from Courtney's.
it might be from that.
Well, I mean, either way, look, the game's it's 20 at this point. On the screen, the game 23-3. That's how it ended. But just I remember even leaving the game, being excited that we won. Obviously, a lot of the excitement was in the first half, but leaving the game, we had just gotten our first round of W shirts. It was the white W shirt with the black collar, and we had them. But I remember hey, let's go to the quarter and celebrate or do some shit. So we walked down to the quarter, got to Bourbon Street, and we're like, and whatever. And we just turned around and went home. Like at that point, we were like, yeah, we're done. I do because like I took a picture. There was a Reggie Bush billboard, and I can tweet it out. But it was a Reggie Bush billboard about something about being the thrill or being something, and it was Reggie. Remember walking down Canal Street from the Dome, heading towards the quarter, because at that point we're like, yeah, let's just go to the quarter and see what happens. And we literally got to the quarter, maybe walk like a block or two, and we were just like, all right, yeah, we're out. Like we didn't stay long at all, especially not considering all the LSU titles that we saw. We were down there and we just hung out for a while for that first Saints game. Maybe it was just, you know, the whole day, like being exhausted. I mean, the whole day was
a giant out on the field.
You know, yeah. I mean, the whole day was just a giant, so much emotion. And maybe we didn't even talk about, like, first setting foot in the Dome that night. I just remember, you know, being
the smell.
Yeah. The smell. And just remember, like, I mean, it was 2 years, you know, a year and a half, 2 years since we've been in the Dome.
Roy, we should go to the quarter now.
I guarantee it probably smells kind of clean.
I'll go if Roy drives.
Jose Mejia says we should have gone to Halloween as the all-white linebacker corps.
Shanley, Mark Simoneaux, Scafaccia. We had it.
And yet, you know, they were better than most of the linebacker corps.
Everybody wanted to get rid of Shanley, and he stuck around. Like he
better than Keith Brooking.
Oh God,
he was good.
he was all right. He was all right. I mean, I do remember walking to the Dome, and I tweeted one of the pictures that I tweeted out was being in the Dome like an hour and a half before the game. Just, you know, being able to sit in my seat, just being like, okay, I'm back. Like that feeling of finally being back was just something incredible. Just being back, walking in the Dome, you know, having that air conditioning just smack you in the face,
mm-hmm.
You know,
sitting so high up.
Right. And then you walk in, you're like, holy shit, I'm really back in the Superdome right now. Even though I'm like, oh, fuck.
Think about how much the Dome has changed from then to now, too. I mean, you got the bigger screen now. You got the ribbon going around. You got the different seats. You got the better food vendors in the concourse and all that stuff. I mean, like the Dome over the last 15 years has undergone has nonstop upgrades.
You got a big one. You got the biggest one coming.
Oh, what is it?
It's going to be drastically big. Which it's a 3-year plan. Now, look, with the COVID, I don't know how much it's getting delayed, but like all the ramps are going away.
Yeah.
The what?
Yeah. All the indoor ramps, which I remember.
Right. They're replacing those with escalators, right?
I mean, I haven't seen the blueprint, but
I mean, they could be like freaking stairs.
You're going to be able to see – there's going to be, like, glass windows in the corners you're going to be able to see from outside in, and there's going to be field-level suites.
You know what I remember
– Adam, is the linebacker – the all-white linebacker core podcast.
We should figure it out. But I remember when we went back in and they redid – because the ramps before Katrina were carpet. And then after Katrina, they were the
– garage floor.
Right. They were like the garage floor with like the thing. But I remember like those first few games, it was so slippery. People would walk down and fall and bust on their ass. And they eventually had to fix that and replace that was a little stickier and wouldn't let you slip. Because I even remember those first few games. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is like people.
Who were the ad wizards that came up with that one? Courtney, was that here?
But they definitely replaced them, and even today you can kind of tell like it goes on the ground itself. It goes up into the wall and kind of curves up. It gets to a point where you can see like the new one that's not as slippery, and like the few inches above that where they decided not to do it, you could see the old slip surface.
Yeah.
And the new surface.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Superdome floor now, in case.
But apparently those are all going to be gone though next year. So, you know. Hey,
whoa, what happened there?
Oh,
what? Hey, we got a picture of Courtney's kids. All right. And there he's back. And Scott, you've been promoted to the number 2 spot.
I'm back. Trying to.
Hey, there we go.
All right. I'm going to tell you what, we are running up on almost on an hour. So I'm going to start with final thoughts. We'll start with Scott, since haven't had a whole lot to say. Jason's been talking a lot.
I mean, yeah.
He's rambling.
I mean, Jason, he was at the game and stuff. I didn't get to go to the game, but I do remember watching it and just, all the feels. Like I said, just that day working during the day and just kind of like we're talking about just feeling electricity throughout the city. Everybody was pumped. Everybody was excited. Much like it's kind of like if you think about it, we talk about that game changed the franchise, changed how we went to Saints games, kind of mirroring how possibly COVID-19 might change the way we go to games. There was, before Katrina and there's after Katrina. Is it going to be now? There was before COVID-19 and after COVID-19 kind of thing, makes you kind of just think about that and kind of come in full circle with everything. So I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I'll move on to a topic that's not necessarily the game itself, but the Saints were going to do their draft from Dixie and be kind of separated from everybody. And then Goodell's like, no, everything is going to be virtual. And that was after the fact that, Mickey Loomis said, we shouldn't even have the draft at the time. It should be pushed back. And they're like, no, yeah, you shouldn't talk to anybody. Obviously, a lot of this is coming from Nick Underhill, the greatest Saints beat guy reporter in history. But the fact that the NFL's kind of fucking us again, it's like, oh yeah, we were gonna have it at Dixie. Everybody's gonna be separate. It's gonna be a giant area. It's not a fucking bar like some bullshit USA Today columnist is gonna state. But now we can't even do that. It's gonna be all from home, which is gonna be very weird to have everybody do the draft from Zoom.
I wonder how it's going to play out on TV. That'll be interesting.
I mean, it's
exactly how they're going to do this.
Like, what if somebody has a bad internet connection? Like, it's like somebody turns. Oh, we're just the Vikings from 2013. Yeah, we missed our pick.
I'm assuming like they're going to have somebody like in the first round, Goodell reads all of the things. So I mean, they could always.
I mean, you're asking for competence from the NFL.
Guys, they did this shit for years without the internet. They did it.
Phone calls.
You can use a telephone. There's ways that you can do it.
It's a lot harder because you're not able to work out any of the players. You're not able to shit.
You're not able to shit. I would hope they can shit.
Yes, he finds out his shit.
I watched that the other day. Was on. He's got the light on.
The problem is that you need to switch to a 4-3 instead of a 16-9.
Right, Scott?
Yes.
While you're, Scott, you're working with a 4-3.
Who got the lighter?
Camera view.
When he said it the other night, I was like, I remember.
No, but all right. So here's my question, Scott. You talk about the Nick Underhill thing. Nick Underhill left. Or who, Jason? You brought up the Nick Underhill thing. Nick Underhill left, came back, and he's going full scale. He's like going all in on the Goodell NFL has a beef with the Saints specifically conspiracy theory.
Well, I mean,
is
I don't know.
Is that because he's trying to sell and
No. He didn't just say, oh, this is what I'm going to do all in. He's pointing out facts, and the facts are legit.
Okay, but he chose to point those facts out.
Well, I mean, he's also a Saints reporter. I mean, he knows we're going to all
agree. Okay, so is he doing it because he actually knows something, or is he doing it because he's just trying to win favor?
Wow, Jeff's trying to piss off all the Saints fans tonight.
I'm asking a legitimate question. I'm asking because I want it to be the former, not the latter. I want to know that Nick Underhill knows something. Like that we all sit here.
Well, look, like I don't know that he knows anything.
Can I finish?
Okay. Can you finish?
I want to know that he knows
what you're
something
thinking.
That we don't.
Tell me what's on your mind.
I want to know.
Jeff.
What?
Why do you want there to be – why do you want the NFL to have a beef with the Saints?
I actually think it would be easier to accept the shit that we've had to endure as fans to know that it was – there's a level of intent. And that we actually have a villain. That I want a face to the villain rather than we've just had a that much bad luck.
All the Saints fans know the truth.
think that because of the success we've had on the field since 06, you're more vested as a fan. You're more into it than had we just been a 7-9, 8-8 team for the last 15 years. And I think that if you surveyed diehard fans from the 20 NFL franchises that have been good the last 14 years, they would all have legitimate gripes with the league. I think every fan that's diehard like you with a team that's had some moderate success would be able to, they don't even have that moderate success. Every team thinks that the NFL just cheating and hating towards them. And I just think you're the Saints fan version of that. Like, why do you think they would pick the Saints over the Titans? Like,
Jeff, before you talk, the listeners are saying they can't hear you.
I saw and I pushed the mute button. I realized they were right. Okay. Who said, Adam, you got it. It was the mute button. They didn't hear all that. All right. So y'all can hear me because you're not listening to the stream. But anyway, I think, so according to your point,
I think just because you're in tune to all news Saints from 10 different beat reporters and you get your Saints, you don't look at the Titans board. You don't care about the Titans. So you don't notice when the NFL
has rulings
against them. And right. I just think every fan's would think the NFL's got it.
Yeah, and I don't go as deep all in like maybe as Scott, for example. I know Scott, we've had conversations. But I do believe that Roger Goodell takes pleasure when decisions make it harder for the Saints.
But you believe that as a Saints fan.
I believe it as a human being. He's not going to be
in favor of
all 32 teams. Roger Goodell is going to – if Sean Payton and the Saints organization have made Roger Goodell's life a little more – and the Saints fandom has made his life a little more difficult, then, yeah, he's going to take pleasure in like a little – you know what? Hey, you know what? Fuck you, asshole. You know what? Maybe in his mind and maybe rightfully so, he's making an objective decision. But if that objective decision happens to make it like ruin our fun, it's like a little icing on the cake. It's a little itching on the cake.
Roy's comment. That's great.
What do you say?
I think you stole that guy's wallet.
I don't even get it.
Exactly.
Roy likes Back to the Future.
Right. Any joke, trace it back. What's a rerun? This is Roger Goodell against the Saints. It's a rerun. That was funny.
I don't think Goodell's got a beef towards the Saints any more than he has a beef towards 15 other NFL teams.
Hold on.
I don't know how
they can make it affect the team. I do think Goodell has something. I think it's not nothing. I'll say that. I think it's not nothing with Goodell and the Saints. After all the shit that we put him through, I think it's not
the
nothing
fact
with
that
asshole.
Well, he struck first by using us as the Bounty Gate scapegoat, and then it's just been the tit for tat ever since. And it's a dick measuring contest. Between him and Sean Payton,
he's the worst fucking commissioner ever. And the fact that these assholes still keep giving him a job and keep paying him $40 million, and he's a member of a fucking Augusta, it just makes me more fucking
right.
Angry.
So, okay, Courtney. So Jose Mejia says Bill Belichick's been cheating for years. Have they ever been suspended for that? Has there ever been anything there?
They never took away Belichick. They didn't say, hey, you can't coach your team. They took away Payton for a year.
The punishment wasn't hard, but they certainly were
Adam with the A's. Do you know him?
They took away Payton for they took away Payton for a fucking year. That's ridiculous. Yeah. That's ridiculous. Fun.
But the Patriots were punished. Not to the extent that the Saints
were. Not like this. And really, like, was ours really
and
that bad? No, it wasn't.
Where Jason's point about him being a bad commissioner, him being a bad, he's inconsistent with his disciplinary actions. And that inconsistency, if you want to look for a pattern, and look, there's an old saying, those inclined to get their panties in a bunch will get their panties in a bunch. And so if you're going to looking for a slant against the Saints, if you're looking for a slant against the Saints, you're going to find it. It's there to find. Whether or not it's intentional or not, it exists. You can make a case. And look, the Lions can probably make a case for whatever it is their conspiracy theory.
The Lions can't make a case for shit. They suck.
They don't have a quarterback.
Right. Don't bring in the fucking Lions.
Oh, I don't know. All right. But there you can't ignore the fact that he just seems that his why have we just – Name a decision he's made that the Saints have benefited from in the last 5 years, 6 years.
I don't keep up with it enough to know decisions he's made, but name a decision he's made that's benefited.
Roy says Goodell must have been dating Rita Benson.
Name a decision he's made that's benefited the Vikings in the last 5 or 6 years, Jeff.
But the decisions he's made have gone against us.
This year's playoff game where they didn't call the pass interference when they pushing off when they should have.
Oh, that's right. He was or, the referees.
Yep, you got it.
Or the pass interference in the NFC Championship game.
That wasn't Goodell's fault.
So he allowed the incompetence to happen.
Been like, whoa, timeout. That's Roger Goodell's.
Adam Bailey is watching. Adam Bailey? This is the first time I've seen Adam Bailey.
I know Adam. He's a friend of mine. We're both in IMAX together. He's a good golfer. I'm sure he misses Masters Week as much as I do.
He's on the stream. He's saying, you're putting down that wine. And Adam Groh, the two Adams would like a Dome Patrol checkpoint.
To know your number. I'll go with a 6. I just refilled. Wind down Monday. I refilled. I'm a 6.
Wind up Monday.
Wind up, wind down, whatever it takes. We're all working from home anyway.
True that.
Goodell could not have prevented nor changed the outcome of the pass interference call.
Of what I know?
Of the pass interference call. Like, that's not his fault. Look,
the Saints-Minnesota game you're talking about?
No, we're not. What, Jeff?
No, the Buccaneers, week 6.
Right. Remember in 2007 when Jason Davey got torched? That was Goodell, not really Jason
Davey.
Pass
interference.
Yeah.
This year there could have been a pass interference call. That's what I thought you were
talking about. We're talking about the big one,
right?
The Rams.
Yeah,
I mean, there was.
Speaking of pass interference, did y'all talk about that while I was gone about the?
No, the fact that it's not going to be in effect next year. We can't be surprised. It was some bullshit thing.
It wasn't really in effect this year.
It was some bullshit thing to placate us, and it didn't work.
Did that go?
They didn't enforce it.
Yeah, they said it's not going to be a thing next year.
So you can't challenge passing the
right. Thing. Yep. Yeah,
back that's to the way it was.
And the problem is that kind of backs the idea of Goodell. You know, he didn't give a fuck about it. They did it last year to placate us, and they didn't even do it right.
Nope. They didn't do it last year.
They don't give two fucks about us. And this is all you need to know. They don't give two. About
I don't want to change this podcast from a not even a pro Saints podcast, and let's just be an anti NFL podcast. Let's just be like the
anti Goodell.
I thought
we're kind of that already.
With the NFL.
We're kind of that already, though. I thought.
Isn't every Saints fan that? But how can you support a team yet hate the league that they play within?
They play in your city.
Nobody hates the NFL. Y'all all talk shit to Johnny.
You know what it is? No, it's shit. You're right. Bullshit. You're right, Courtney. It's not that you hate the NFL. It's you.
You
it's
just watched the game from 14 years ago. And you started fucking crying. And you had a podcast about it.
You cried.
Jesus. I hate the NFL. No,
you're right. It's not that. It's the Vince McMahon WWE thing. He Goodell's the villain. He's the Vince McMahon that you love to hate.
Yeah. I agree.
That's it. And maybe he's playing that role. Maybe he's playing that part. I don't care if I'm the bad guy.
He's
doing
a good job.
Multiple times on the show that the owners love letting him be the evil face to their decision making. And what you really hate is the
decisions that the owners are making.
We hate the NFL.
Just doesn't care, and that's why they keep letting him be the commissioner, and that's why they keep giving him raises, and it's why they leave him around, is because he's willing to be the guy that most fan bases hate. You're right, Courtney, that the Saints aren't the only fan base that hates Goodell. That's why he's booed every time he steps on a stage.
Well, that's by every point, fan base. Well, that just proves my point that he doesn't have it specifically. He doesn't have a stick up his ass specifically for the Saints.
Right. I think he's got some kind of – I think he's got a little bit of a stick up his ass against the Saints just because we want to stick it to him.
Well, Jeff just talked himself into saying he's got a stick up his ass for every team.
Yeah,
and that's why every team likes him, because he's the heel.
I will say no. Do you think he gives two shits about the Jacksonville Jaguars? No. He doesn't.
No, he loves them because they're his connection to Europe.
What's the saying? With great success comes great what?
Responsibility?
Yeah.
What's that even mean?
You wouldn't hate Goodell as much if we went fucking 7-9 the last 9 years.
No, I would hate our defensive coordinator.
Good deal. Jason Lake, what's up? Good to see you, Jason Lake. Kyle B. Ward. Jerry Jones will be shirtless, guarantee it.
What?
Oh, Jose Mejia said, is Jerry Jones going to be
– oh, God, Wayne Jones hates the NFL and he'll fix
the living room or the draft.
That's funny.
I assume it is, but is that Jose Mejia from Jesuit?
Yes.
Yes, that is.
Thought so.
All right, that was Scott's final thought. Jason, your final thought?
No, Jason did it. I did mine when you were gone, Jason.
Yeah, my final thought was – I will say one small final thought. This was supposed to be Master's Week, and it's not, and it's kind of sad.
All right. Courtney, your final thought?
You missed mine, Jeff. You need to go back and watch mine. It was a good one.
I'll listen.
Jason, my final thought is we flew by this, but Jeff made one of the greatest points he's ever made. Y'all were talking about the draft and how we're going to do it and blah, 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 blah. And Jeff said, guys, they did this for years with a phone and a fucking Post-it and a pencil. We'll be fine. That was a good point. I just want to give Jeff his props. It's my final thought.
Wow.
Well, Courtney, continue. Elaborate.
That's all
go on about how smart Courtney's I
like,
am.
You just guaranteed your spot on next week's live show.
Courtney knows how to,
He just had to butter up the.
Courtney's a good objective, impartial opinion maker.
Judge.
I think that working in sports.
Well, he calls me out when I make stupid points too.
Well, there's also a reason he was an original Dome Patrol podcast contributor. You know.
That's right.
There's a lot of these guys that
want to see episodes with Courtney, go to original Dome Patrol podcast contributor.com.
We're going to stream old episodes during COVID-20.
If somehow we could go back and get our first episode ever, I would love to find
out. It's got to be on domepatrolpodcast.com, right?
No. There was a point where we used to have to delete old episodes. So we had to delete old episodes in order.
Because you ran out of room.
Yeah.
Because you ran out of room.
That was before we knew what was
the upgrade. We had a free account at the time.
I mean, for a while I had them on my computer, but then lightning zapped my old computer, so I only have from
Do we have Jim Hawthorne interview or Ricky Jackson interview?
Yes.
We still have those.
Yeah.
You want to publish those for the listeners?
Right. We have Ricky.
I think you published the Jim Hawthorne one not too long ago.
Yeah, we have Hawthorne. We have Ricky. I think we have the Cleveland show. Like, I've got from episode like maybe 43 on. I think that's.
Do we have T Bob's podcast when he came on?
Yes, we probably still have T Bob on there. Hang on, let me find the Ricky one.
I know. I definitely have it for sure. What's arugula?
That's the best.
It's a vegetable.
Ricky Jackson Dome Patrol podcast.
Are you searching on Google?
Yeah. Dome Patrol Classics, Ricky Jackson. There it is, right? First result.
It exists, yeah.
All right, so let me just slide that right here.
Oh, Jesus, you're just going to slide it right in?
Yeah, that's what she said.
Let me just slide that right in here.
All right, Dome Patrol Classics, Ricky Jackson.
I'm
gonna see if this works. Hang on.
What year was that?
It's working. Y'all.
It was probably back in 20 whenever he got into the Hall of Fame. When did Ricky go into the Hall of Fame? Because that's when we did it. I can't hear it. I guess you're laughing.
Yep. Can't hear it either.
Right. Inner voice. Inner voice. Come on. Oh, there you go. Somebody told you to get headphones.
Jason, shut the fuck up.
Jeff, tell us if it's funny.
Here's what we do. We will set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Set up. Here's what we do. We will set up.
All right, y'all back.
Oh, okay, you got it?
I had to mute you. You were talking over the best part.
Don't ever do it
again. That was horrible.
I mean, this was our...
Just tell people to go look it up, please.
Right? Yeah, this...
They just heard it. You're the only three that didn't hear it.
Well, then, it's just...
You shut the fuck up and wait for it to be over.
It's okay.
It was like fucking 5 minutes.
For you.
Other people... Right, yeah. We still got to say bye-bye, donkeys. Like, what's...
All right, but you can wait. And it's like you inserted a clip, Jason. You don't have to actually insert the clip now. It's there. It's okay. The people watching and the people listening are going to hear it.
I'm not angry. I'm good.
Well, Scott is.
He's definitely mad because he wasn't around when we did that bit.
That's a hilarious bit.
I've already republished it like 2 times as a Dome Patrol classic. I've heard it multiple times. I don't know how funny it was.
Hilarious.
Courtney was the best deke ever. Courtney was the best deke.
Yes, he was. He's talking about 3:10. Maybe I can get the Dester hand faster.
He was the best deke. It's almost sad that Deke's not there anymore, even though I'm glad he's not. But it's sad. Now we need to find a fucking Christian Garlick, which Courtney hates that I call him Christian Garlick, but he's a fucking idiot.
The thing about Deke, though, is that you could do an impression. With Christian Garlick, there's no impression to do.
You can kind of do a Christian Garlick. Hey, I'm going to stumble over myself, simplify, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this,
that's pretty good, fast,
but I'm going to stumble over myself, I'm going to do this, simplify, Gershon Garlick, Gershon Garlick, simplify.
That's pretty good.
I'm going to block everybody, I'm going to block everybody, and I don't know how it is. That's what he does, he blocked me. Fuck, I'm blocked from Gershon Garlick. Courtney just hates to call him Christian Garlick. He hates it, but yeah, he's a douchebag. But that's it. What do you want to do? I'm gonna stumble over my words. I'm gonna talk fast, but I'm the only guy because now the Deke's gone. Oh shit! I'm just guy, and I think I know math, but I don't know math. I'm gonna talk about this. I don't know. I'm just come on, talk to me. I'm not gonna say call me, tell me because that's not my thing. That's the other guy's thing. I replaced him, but I also suck.
My favorite thing that Deke would do
is everything, but if I had to choose,
WWF would take like 2 callers an hour, and he'd say, right before a break, he'd say, all right, hold on, Bill, John, Frank, Hank, Tim, Randy, Bobby, Kyle, Michael, John, Jason, you're coming up next.
There was part of you, you did that on your thing.
That was 3 months worth of callers for shows.
But I remember you said like you did that on the bit, right?
On the Ricky Jackson one?
Yeah, I think you did it on the bit. It's like, yeah, let's call it up. You went through a batch of people. I'm pretty sure you did.
Adam has requested put in the word Deke and Christian interview each other.
Oh shit. Okay, I think we should definitely do it.
We should do it.
Not tonight, but we should definitely do it.
It is time for us to do another skit show or something.
We definitely need another skit show.
The clip, we used to do a lot of clips. We don't do clips that much anymore. We just kind of publish. But one of my all-time favorites is the clip show we did where it was nothing but the clips. Remember that one?
I still don't know how you...
I'm not going to play it right now. Don't worry.
I know, but you...
Please
you,
don't.
You made it work, and all. You did a great job on that.
That one was fun. That was fun. Yeah. You know, with everybody like running out of content nowadays with what they're doing, maybe we do a little bit of a nostalgia. Remember the 100th episode? That was a good episode too.
We could still publish that out there. That was fun. Yeah. We had everybody even
play it.
It's an hour and a half long. Get ready.
Done.
You remember the 7-hour marathon episode we did where all we did was talk about our favorite players from 1968? I got dangerous when I went to the 60s. All right. Are y'all done? Are we done?
Yeah, I think I'm done.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can follow us on Twitter for daily conversation at Dome Patrol US and at Dome Patrol UK. Like us on Facebook to watch these live broadcasts. Like us on for follow us on or what is it, YouTube, to watch either live broadcasts or listen to us as an alternative to your podcast app. We're on iTunes, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. I gotta write this down.
Twitch. Anyway. Probably should.
Oh yeah, we're gonna be on Twitch pretty soon too. So find us on Twitch at Dome Patrol Podcast.
What's Twitch?
Twitch is the place where you watch live.
That was gonna be my bit. God damn it. Dome Patrol Podcast. What's Twitch?
So.com.
Go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Save my bad donkeys.
What's Twitch donkeys?
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Rebirth. Trombone Shorty. We're living like birds in the magnolia trees. Child on the rooftop. Mother on a knee.